2, I will explain this. Because we say, huh? This one don't need. It's not a call into a drudgery or self-denial. No, kingdom of God, there's such thing called deny yourself. But it's not about denying. Denying. There's a reason for denying. We need to understand why. Okay. And the third one. It's not a call into a... I like this one. I just put it out. Gotta think, think. It's not a call into a stifling, restrictive, and boring lifestyle. You know why? At least for myself. When I grew up, the word holy... Imagine you tell me, live holy. The picture that comes to my mind is certain monks and priests withdraw yourself to a monastery, no TV, no nothing, no Wi-Fi, only you and God. That is boring. That is stifling. And maybe there's a Bible. And the Bible is King James Version. Not even New King James Version. So we have this, at least my idea is stifling, is boring, is restrictive, nothing. Yeah, it's like, oh, withdraw. Look, I actually tried many times. I'll have a funny story to tell. Yeah, tell my girlfriend that now it's my wife. I'm going to fast 3 days until God speaks. If he does not speak, I will not come out of the room. So after about half a day, come out. I say, why are you coming out? It's boring. I want to eat something. Yeah, because our understanding is totally incorrect about this calling to be holy. How can it be boring if God is holy? So what is holy living? Basically, it's, write this down. Okay. Now, you must understand it correctly and then begin to walk it out. If not, you will resist. No one wants boring lifestyle. I certainly don't. I know I'm created. I like thrill. I enjoy that excitement. You know, that's why I run until I want to vomit, that kind of stuff. I just love the kind of adrenaline. I love F1. You know, people say the sound. The sound is fantastic. Ask me, you know. Don't ask me to look at a bicycle. Die. Okay. No, we are just created for that. We all love pleasure. We all love fascination. Who doesn't like fascination? That's why kids all want to play iPad, iPhone one. Okay, so I was thinking, you know, four pick one word. Maybe you should come out with a biblical version of four pick one word. Moses. They come out. Hebrews. Whatever. You know. Yeah. Because we want that. Okay, but no, the idea is not make it fun. The idea is understand that being holy is not boring. We have to take the word back because the word is being hijacked by the word. So, yeah, I know we want the I. We skip the H. O, a little bit, like, give a bit, can. P, can. Power, prophetic, is exciting. But meanwhile, the holy one just shell aside because it's boring. No. Okay. Holy living is basically God inviting us to a higher or highest and even more exhilarating quality of life. If you walk in that, you will experience vibrancy in your spirit and abundant life. Not boredom, not stifling. It's actually a call to greatness and a call to liberty from darkness and bondage. That's holiness. You begin to realize who you are in God. Yeah, let's go back to 1 Peter 1, verse 16. Now it's 8:50. 1 Peter 1, verse 16. Because being holy cannot be being boring or stifling. Because what does the word say? Be holy. Because I am holy. Because scriptures say that God is holy. He's certainly not boring. He is not stifling. Because you read the word of God. God is full of life. That's John chapter 1 verse 4. God is indescribably glorious and transcendent in beauty. That is Isaiah chapter 4 verse 2. He's infinitely superior to anything. Isaiah 40. Or Isaiah 6, where the word of God says, holy, holy, holy. So holy cannot be boring. When God says, be holy. Because I am holy, He's not calling us into a season of boredom. He's inviting us to enter or partake with Him. This, for lack of a word, that is that superior, much superior quality of life. As we engage with Him, we will be free from darkness and sin and bondages and engaging with Him in greatness. You know why I say holy living is not a message of drudgery denial? No, this is not about grinding of teeth, enduring boredom, do's and don'ts. This is about calling to enter into God's realm of who He is. He's beautiful. He's glorious. He's full of life. And so on. That's why God wants us to be a certain kind of people. When you break down into that certain kind of people, you know that by walking into it, you have experienced that superior quality of life that God called us to be. It's not about behaving. It's not about doing something. This is about enter into God's life. Get what I'm saying? You're entering into God's life. Why wholehearted in love for God? Have you asked the questions? Because God loved us with His all. Why men after God's own heart? Because God is after our heart. It's always a vice versa. It's a great divine exchange when you talk about this holy. Unfortunately, a lot of time, our understanding of holiness is following some rules. Yeah, there are rules. But the following of the rules without that relationship, without engaging, it always becomes legalistic. It becomes boring. I think throughout ages, unfortunately, we have become the, not, I'm talking about Christendom as a whole, we get locking into the do's and don'ts without engaging the heart. That's why it becomes stifling. It becomes boring. It's a call. Write this down. Holy living is a call to the superior pleasure of being fascinated by who God is. Superior pleasure of fascinated by who God is. That's why it's not boring. God is not boring. He's not. I mean, thinking about it, oh, Moses, he saw God. He fell down on his knee. I think must be really exciting. It must be. And if you go into Exodus 34, God came down, Moses encountered God, Moses totally changed his response. Yes, I will change. I'll be what you want me to be because of encountering with God. Two foundational truths that is vital for us. No, that will empower us. It's the key to holiness because it's not the grinding of teeth. There is a place to resist. We're going to talk about it. There are three practical principles and walk it out. But you need to understand that it's more than just grinding of teeth to resist. There's that much that we can resist. There's a place to resist. But we should spend more time engaging, less time resisting. When it comes, there are things that we have to resist. We resist. That's the key thing. Two foundational truths, which we talk a lot of. I mean, I don't know whether you still remember the seven longings of human's heart. There are two that will empower us. The first one is this, longing for pleasures. We are all created for pleasures. Second, longing to be fascinated. If you don't go on this grinding of teeth to grow into holiness, you're not going to make it. Or you're going to grind your teeth, set yourself, love God, love God, love God. You're not going to make it. You know how to love God? Encounter His love. There is 1 John 4:19. We love God because He first loved us. You work on this. How do you get the pleasure? Understand that encountering God is a superior pleasure. You see God in your heart. It's a superior fascination. You know, remember 2008, the Beijing Olympic? Everybody, wow, the opening ceremony. Should I say this or not say this? Yeah, I'll say it. To me, it's no big deal. If you stand before the very throne of God and see the glory, you know, I know I use the word fireworks. It's a bit insulting to the throne of God. It's far surpassed that fireworks. This is what? This is nothing. This is a candlelight. Where God's glory go forth like sardius. jasper, emerald, rainbow. Oh, he said, oh God, I will love you more. I will go after you. I will seek to be holy. Okay. It's vital. God, two foundational principles. One is God created every human being with a longing for pleasures. It's the first one. Second, God created every human being with a longing to be fascinated. We can't repent both away. No, we can't. We can't repent. No, we enjoy pleasure. That's why kids like to play iPhone, right? Right or not? I mean, give you one boring touch phone, they'll throw it away. We are the same. Why we get hooked onto iPhone? Because it's fascinating. Right or not? Those people who totally don't like one like me, you know, I buy confusing, I throw away. Yeah, because it's not a pleasure to me. But many times, it's because what engage our heart is pleasure. You know, longing, no, we got to get this right. Because defining pleasure is important. Longing for pleasure is not a sin. Is it, huh? Yeah, then all should withdraw to a monastery. No, longing for pleasure is not a sin and it's not wrong. It's how we seek for the fulfillment of pleasure. Give you one example. Sex. Who created sex? Not Satan. God. God. Nothing wrong with sex if it's within the will of God, within the boundary of a marriage covenant. Pleasure is not wrong. It's how we seek our fulfillment of pleasure. Sin occurs when we find pleasure outside the will of God or ungodly manner. You understand this? And then when you understand this, you understand how you walk in holiness. No, there's a time to deny. There's a time to resist. Bible does teach us about self-denial. But self-denial is not talking about the denial of pleasure. You know what's denial when Bible talks about deny yourself? Is deny sinful pleasure. It's not denying pleasures. Because we are created to be fascinated. We are created to want to pleasure. We love it. You know, we are wired that way. You can't repent in the way. John Piper said this. Sin is what we do when our heart is not satisfied with God. Sin is what we do when our heart is not satisfied with God. It's true. It is true. I ask you a question. You don't even need an answer. Why do we not read the Bible? Because a lot of times, we know the Bible is good, isn't it? The word is important, isn't it? See, truth be told, a lot of times we feel that Bible is boring. Yes, but when you look, I mean, yeah, we look, we watch, there are some movies you can watch again. I know of my friend, he watched Star Trek. One episode he watched 100 over times. Oh, I ask you to read John 3:16, read two times and then you give up. Star Trek, you watch undimmed times because, yeah, it's fascinating. Oh, it's pleasurable. We don't read the word is because, truth be told, it's boring. Then what do? Then we better pray. Show you. Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms 19. Yeah, I show you Psalms 119. And that's how you pray. Talk to God with this so that He will change the emotional chemistry in your heart. Because when I read it, wow, no, I want that. Turn me to Psalms 19 first. Psalms 19. Because when I read some of this thing, I say, God, this is your word. I don't feel this way. Then your word must be wrong. Cannot be right. I say, something wrong with me. Then I begin to pray for myself. Okay, Psalms 19. Turn me to Psalms 19. Say this, verse 7, talking about the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. You know, sometimes we read, yeah, you know, if I can't sleep, it helps me to sleep. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Listen to this one. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing's the heart. That means when you read it, your heart rejoices. You know, sometimes I read it, God, sometimes I read your word. I don't rejoice. I'm waiting for it to be over. Today I'm supposed to read 10 chapters. Leviticus 21, oh! Leviticus 22, oh! Leviticus 28, one more chapter. Leviticus 39, oh, thank God. But when I read this, rejoicing the heart cannot be. Because Leviticus is the word of God, isn't it? So it's to rejoice my heart. As you read on and read on, you see, I read it, wow, it's because I don't find it enjoyable. One more, turn in middle. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. If you find the word boring, pray some of this scripture. Psalms 119. Verse, I'm going to read from verse 12. Psalms 119, verse 12 say this: Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes, or teach me your law, teach me your word. With my lips I have, you can circle the word teach me, next one. With my lips I have, circle the word declare, I have declared. All the judgment of your mouth. Listen to verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. It means basically what the psalmist says. Compared to whatever riches when I see, wow, I receive gold bar, I strike toto. I'm so happy. Isn't that? But I'm talking about the word. My heart rejoices with the word. I rarely say, hey God, not all the time true, no. So the word is true. I'm not true. So can you make that happen to me? Can you? Let's go further. Verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. Wow. I tell them, help me, God. Help me. Go to verse 18. It's a key prayer. If you want to grow in the word. Key prayer. Verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Open my eyes as I read your word. Then you go further down. I tell you, talk about the power of your word. The word revive your soul. The word strengthen our heart. And the third one, the word enlarge. You know, you want your heart to grow big? It's the word. Let's go and read all the way down. Okay, let's come back. Okay. So it's vital. We need to understand, okay? It's not about resisting. It's about understanding about this whole pleasure thing. We are created, and engaging God is pleasurable. We need to understand there's nothing wrong. Engaging, walking with God is pleasurable. That's called holy. When God is inviting us to enter into the holiness of the joy of His heart. The superior pleasure. You know, God created pleasure. There are all kinds of pleasure. Physical pleasure, mental pressure, not pressure, okay? Mental pressure, that means it's called stress, okay? Physical pleasure, mental pleasure, emotional pleasure, the highest is spiritual pleasure. When God reveal God unto our heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Eyes have not seen, ears heard, nor have it entered into the understanding or the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. Basically, Holy Spirit, if you read verse 10, the verse says, Holy Spirit will escort us into the deep things of God's heart. And when we encounter that, we overcome. That's where we become holy. Holy is not about resisting sin. There is a place to resist, but there's that much that you can resist. Let's be honest. Why we sin? Why we sin? We sin because sin is pleasurable. It's true. Why men engage or indulge in pornography? Definitely it's not painful, even though it's not right. It's pleasure, isn't it? That man or even woman indulge in pornography. Just one form of sin. It's because it's pleasurable. Just that we are settling for inferior pleasure. That's where we need to understand. God created pleasure. Satan counterfeit it. The way to be holy is to understand when we engage the heart of God, it's the superior pleasures. And good news for you. Pleasure is forever. Pleasure is eternal. No, it's not like suddenly we go to heaven, it's like, it's so boring. No, it's forever. That's why David said this in Psalm 16, verse 11. What did he say? At your right hand is fullness of dread. At your right hand is fullness of joy. In your presence is pleasure, not pressure. You know, some will feel pressure because, God, when are you going to ask me what I did to this and so on? No. At your right, Psalm 16, verse 11. At your right hand is fullness of joy. At your presence is what? Pleasure forever. That is what it means to be holy, is when you preoccupy with God, you encounter that superior pleasure. It's true. It's true. You engage your heart. You say yes to being the very kind of people that God desires us even to be. The greatest pleasure. That's why God is inviting us into that. Be holy because I am holy. And you read through all the scripture that pertaining to this, how they describe. 1 Peter 1:8. Just write down. 1 Peter 1:8. What does Peter describe? Joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. John chapter 3, verse 29. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 3, 29. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. How does John describe? Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Of course, David, you know, I mentioned it. Psalms 16, verse 11. Psalms 36, verse 8. He called it fullness of joy. He called it pleasure forevermore. In Psalms 36, that's a classic. He said river of pleasures. It's the river of pleasures. That is what being holy is about. Let me just read the quotation by, I mean, a quote by John Piper again. Now I'm going to give you three practical principles. Okay, John Piper said this. Sin is what we do when our hearts are not satisfied with God. Sin is what we do when our heart is not satisfied with God. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied with Him. Got it? It's from the book, The Pleasure of God. The Pleasure of God. Sin is what we do when our heart are not satisfied with God. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied with Him. It's true. The call to holiness, you know what's the call to holiness? It's the call to enjoy God. It's the call to enjoy God and be like God. God is certainly not boring. Okay. Give you three important, necessary principles for us to pursue holiness. Okay. I call it the knowing principle, the resisting principle, and the pursuing. You need all three. You know, it's just an issue of when you do it. Okay. I always say, don't focus most of the time resisting, but there's a time that you need to resist. There are times that you need to deal with areas of your life. Okay. Three principles. Knowing principle, resisting principle, pursuing principle. These are important principles. We need to apply all three. You don't just choose two, you neglect one. Or choose one, neglect two. Or you do one once in a while, then neglect the other two. You need to put all three together, which is vital. There's a place where you fast and pray. That is the pursuing principle. But there's a place where you resist. No point. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, global bridegroom fast. You fast, you pray. Then Thursday, Friday, you get into sin. It's like you're pumping up your spiritual life. Then next 2 days, you are deflating your spiritual life again. No, you have to do all three. That's why you keep your heart vibrant. You walk in holiness. Knowing principle, resisting principle, pursuing principle, which is all over, okay, the scripture. Take me to Romans 6, verse 11 to 13. Now, some of these things Apply it. You know, a lot of times, you know, all throughout this, hey, how come, you know, we talk about this, we never realize. It's because we don't apply, exercise, do it. You know, like the prayer one, verbalize your prayer. You know, I love it, I hear everybody. No, the issue is not that I want noise. The issue is lovely when all of us are engaging and all of us are verbalizing. Do you know it affects one another? It does. And the most important thing, it affects your heart. It marks your soul when you verbalize it. Okay. Romans 6, verse 11. Verse 11 gives you the knowing principle. Okay. Verse 11 said this. Underline the word reckon. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ. You know, this is a process of walking, growing. There are three things you need to know. You need to know. There are times that you need to resist. There are times that you need to pursue. No, actually not there are times. The way I say it is wrong. You need to put all three together. You need to resist. You need to know. You need to pursue. Okay, not two out of one. This is not an option. Okay, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ. First one, reckon. That is knowing principle. See, the key is this. We must know certain truth in order to be able to walk effectively. That's why the book of Ephesians is so important. That's the reason why I ask you all to read the book of Ephesians for those who are in the teaching class. You know, the book of Ephesians is divided into three portions called sit, walk, stand. You know why sit, walk, stand? No, it's divided. Chapter 1 to about certain part of chapter 3 is sit. From chapter 3 all the way to certain part of chapter 6 is walk. Then the last part of chapter 6 is stand. You see, a lot of time we want to stand. Stand basically means you watch warfare. You can't watch a war. You can't wage a warfare properly and victoriously until you learn how to sit. Sit is not zobo, okay? Sit is know who you are, your position in Christ. You need to sit. You know what you have. This is the knowing principle. You know who you are. I'm the bride of Christ. I know there are indwelling spirit that's working in us. I know there'll be grace. I know I can have a confidence in God and so on and so on. That is sit. We are seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. That doesn't mean that we literally sit there. That means everything that Jesus has is for us. We need to know. And when we understand, then the next thing is what? We walk. We walk. We walk it out. When you really walk it out, that gives you the true authority. And the last one is stand. That means you resist. You resist. That's why go and read the book of Ephesians. I tell you, every new believer must read these four books. Matthew, John, Romans, Ephesians. Ephesians is vital because Ephesians lay out these three principles the clearest. Knowing, resisting, pursuing. Okay. First one, knowing principle. We must know certain truth in order to be able to walk in our faith effectively. It's true. See, a lot of times we don't know. Satan come, what do? Don't call me, say, Kechong, can you pray for me? What do you do when Satan come and cho-cho you? What does the Bible teaches you? Hide? No. Resist. This is what people call me. Hey, I'm attacked by demons. Say, can you just do this? I give you three words. Get thee behind me. You know, get thee behind me. Five words. Get thee behind me. You know, I throw in, you know, the name, then are six words. Say, no, Kechong, is take authority. We have authority. When you face immorality, what do you do? What do you do? You run. The Bible teaches you need to know. You know, sometimes we got it wrong. Satan, we run. Immorality, we resist. You sure lose one. It's true. How do you read? Okay, never mind. So this is a knowing principle, which is necessary. Okay, you need to know who you are, what you have. There are many that, who are we in Christ? The bride of Christ. We talk about the gift of righteousness, grace. You know, there are some of the things that we have taught about. The gift of righteousness, grace. The indwelling and the working of the Spirit. That's why we taught on encountering God, encountering Jesus, encountering the Holy Spirit, so that we can have confidence in who God is, how the Father feels towards us, how Jesus feels towards us, so that when we are dark, we know that we are lovely and we can have confidence. So these are the knowing principles. All we teach is so that we know who we are, what we have, and then we apply. Amen? Second principle, resist. No, you have to learn to resist. Don't be passive with sin. Don't be passive with Satan. When I say passive with sin, that doesn't mean you fight with sin. Certain things you avoid. I'll give you some example. Romans 6, verse 12 and 13 tells us about the resisting principle. Verse 12 said this. What did he say? Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That means resist. Resist. Verse 13 says what? Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Resist. Resist. There are some things you know you resist. You can avoid. Just simple principle. Let's say Satan. Satan, we resist. James chapter 4, verse 7. So don't be passive. Don't call me. I hang up the phone. No, I'm not so... No, no. You have need. You need healing. I pray for you. But this one, you... Yeah. No, you can resist. That's what we talk about, the authority of believers in the name of Jesus. We resist. Don't accept. And we, in a way, in very common, resist sin and avoid sin-provoking circumstances. No, there are areas, yeah, you need to avoid, okay? Avoid circumstances, avoid situation, avoid places that will inflame sin within us. We avoid. I always use this word called trigger point. All of us know what is our trigger point. We have weakness. We know what is our weakness. What can cause us to sin? What open doors? Avoid. Abstain. Take away. What are the areas, you know, areas, circumstances, situation that will make you vulnerable? No, don't feed on that. If you go to the place, don't go to the place and resist. No pornography. No problem. Meanwhile, you're sitting in the club full of pornography. You should, yeah, meanwhile, you say, God, help me. He will help you. But you are actually putting yourself in a situation that makes yourself vulnerable. These are part of resisting sin. That means you avoid situations. Avoid things. Avoid circumstances. I call it trigger point. We all can identify the trigger point. That means the weakness, the weak point of your life. Avoid it. Avoid, if you say, I can't help it, I just go, then that's called bondage. Really. That's called obsessive. Then you need counseling, you need deliverance. Really. No, it's true. If not, you can. You can make decisions. That's what it is about. Okay, so this is resisting. The third one, pursuing. Pursuing. Romans 6, verse 13. Pursuing. Actually, our faith is very simple. These are all the simple principles. If we apply it, we will be holy. Okay, Romans 6, 13. But underline this. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instrument of righteousness to God. Present yourself. Pursue God. Like what I said earlier. Set a vision for holiness. Do you know that there's power when you set a vision? Set a vision. Set a vision to be a people wanting. Set a vision for holiness. Read the Bible. Pray regularly. Spend time with God. So on and so on. These are pursuing of God. The pursuing principle means there's something you need to cooperate with God. So three principles. The knowing principle, which we all learn through the teaching and so on. The resisting principle. And the third one is what? the pursuing principle. We need all three. We cannot do, you know, yeah, none of this is optional. You know, yeah, I choose two, I don't want three. Once in a while, I do the resisting. Suddenly, one, I just want to pursue. If you don't know, it cannot help you to resist. You have no power, you have no authority. But if you pursue, you don't resist, it's like you pump up to 6.5, then you come down again to 4.5 because you're not resisting. So you need all three, okay? All three is vital for us, okay? Write this down, which I'll give you applications, which is important. We must embrace all three of this principle in the context of seeking 100% obedience. Got it? We must embrace all three principles in the context of seeking 100% obedience. Seeking 100% obedience is an expression of us seeking to be holy. My word is 100% obedience. Don't settle for 98%. Don't settle for 99%. Because the last 2% or the last 1% is actually very vital. Because the last 2% and the last 1%, when you throw it in or you take it out, either it becomes the spark that empower or they become the weakness or the compromise that diminish. So go for the 100%. Don't settle for, 99. Or 99.5. That become that weakness. That become that compromise. Again, I'm not referring to attaining. I'm talking about seeking. Deliberately, intentionally, reaching, aiming, seeking, content to fully obey. What happens if I fail? Immediately repent, press the delete button, say, God, I'm here again. I'm seeking 100% obedience. That means you are not being casual. You know, a lot of time we are very casual with sin. We are. The way to deal with sin is not to cut down. It's to totally cut off. That's why Jesus said what in Matthew chapter 5. If you are struggling in lust, poke out your eyes. You're struggling in stealing, cut off your hand. No, don't really do it. Then a lot of time, lost an eye. Next week, lost an eye. Oh, I know what's your problem. No, that's not the point. The point is deal with it radically. You see, a lot of time, we are very casual with sin. God is not casual with sin because that inflames in us. Four giants or four areas that we need to... I just give you four. This, if you can deal with this four, you'll be holy. No, I'm just kidding. No, but this is vital. Four, submit to 100% obedience. These are four things. Do you know these four things I'm going to give you? Is God insists a lot upon. The first one. It's also what it means to be holy too. The first one, speech. Speech. Do you know that God is very particular with your words and my words? Our speech. James chapter 3, verse 2. Just write down. James chapter 3, verse 2. Colossians 4. Verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6. Psalms 15, verse 1. I tell you, this is classic. David wrote this psalm. He said, who can stand in the tabernacle of God? He lists out three things. One of it is the words, our speech. Our speech. Okay? Our speech. Second, your eyes. Your eyes. Okay? Job chapter 31, verse 1. Make a covenant with... No, serious. Make a covenant with your eyes that you will not lust after another woman. Or for woman. Make a covenant with your eyes that you will not lust after a man. Okay. Yeah. Third one. Our time. Which I will talk a little bit more next 2 weeks. Because that's about offering. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 16. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to our time. I say this just now. There's no such thing as our own time. No, I know. We do have space. We need some space, time out, and so on. No, there's no such thing as time out from the Lord. Under the Lordship of Christ, all time belongs to Jesus. The moment you have time that, God, we are not inside this time, that's where you're going to get into serious problem. all your time belongs to God. Everything that you do, all your time. No, I don't care whether it's time out, personal time, IHOP time, quiet time, and whatever. See, one of the problems is because we compartmentalize. Now no God time. Now prayer time. Now sin time. Now whatever time. No, time. Time. Time is life. Submit 100% of your life. You say, we want to submit 100% of life to God, isn't it? What does that mean? That means your time. No, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying then cannot do this, cannot study, cannot do this. No, everything that you do, your time, you seek 100% obedience for God. That is the thing. That is the thing. Okay, I'm going to just finish this. Last one, our money. You can deal with these four giants, you'll be victorious. Four things. Our speech, our eyes, our time, our money. No, we need to teach our children too. We teach them from young to speak words with grace. Children is the best one. No? They can be very nasty, very quick. Yeah. Always get them to apologize if they say nasty words so that you set them a culture of learning to say gracious words. Yeah, I know. Yeah, don't say, yeah, cute. It's like that one. Yeah, now they are 4 years old, they are cute. Another 20 years old, 24, they do the same thing. That's a monster already. So I have to deal with it now. Help them so that they understand, okay? Four things. Our speech, our eyes, our time, our money. Turn with me to one last verse. Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12. No, I know. I'm addressing these four giants. I'm like, why? So, then the issue is this. Why are we so afraid to give 100% to God? Why? I also want to address, why are we so afraid to love God more, to give God more, to pray more, to fast more, to seek Him more, or whatever? No, I'm not saying that. No, this is not about coming more to the house or less to the house or so on. No, this got nothing to do with your house. You know, yesterday we had a big talk. You know? Yeah, so this conference is for individual, for corporate. There's no corporate unless individual life change or touch. It's never corporate. No, suddenly, wow, one whole team. It doesn't work that way. This, whether it's I, which is intercession, or H, which is holiness, O, which is offering, P, which is prophetic, don't do this for the house. Don't do this for Kechong. That's the greatest mistake. And then you backfire on me. People call me cow. So don't. Do this for yourself. It's for you. You owe it to yourself to be holy. So why are we afraid to pray more, fast more, love God more, seek God more, read the Bible more? It should be natural, isn't it? So don't. You know, what's the problem? Why we are afraid? Because maybe our mind is not renewed. Take me to Romans 12. Romans 12. No, that's where one of the things I always tell people, be honest, be real, be. Then we pray, like, just tell the God, just tell the Lord, the word is really boring. Then pray Psalms 119. No, I told that to the Lord for many years. Why you write Leviticus that way? Why do you even include Leviticus? Goodness. It's so boring. So then after that, I read next chapter. Oh God, I changed my mind. There's another book that is worse. It's called Numbers. I hate it. Oh, God, I say, should I go more? Next, Deuteronomy not so bad. Thank God. After Joshua is quite nice. Then go, Job. Aiyah, blur lah. What is happening, Job? Then someone, first chapter of this guy, disaster. So I told God very honestly, can you help me? So he directed me for many years to Psalms 119. Then I read Psalms 119. How come like that? Something must be wrong with me. Cannot be the word. That is the meaning. Then I pray. That's why we need to be honest. That's like that, like the same thing. Why are we afraid to give God more? Simply because our mind is not renewed. We just have to be honest and say, God, help me, give me grace, and do something about it. Something will change within your heart. It's just as simple as that. Romans 12. Romans 12. I'm very honest with God. You know, in the past, I tell God, if you don't provide, I'm going to drive taxi. Now I change my mind. And look at a taxi driver. Poor thing. No. And then thinking of next thing. Oh, thank God, I still don't have to. Okay, Romans 12. Take me to Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse... No, the key is seek to be holy. God said, be holy because I am holy. Romans 12, verse 2 said this. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need our mind to be renewed that this is good so that we are willing to give more as a response. Because this is good. This is good. Amen?